everybody. My name is Matt Stranek, and I'm joined here with Dan Hayward, and this is the latest edition. We're going at about a monthly pace now, which compared to last summer, actually, is pretty good. I would say that if we threw in some of the interviews, if we qualified those as within the sphere of the episodes of the show, I'd like to think we're kind of getting our, you know, once every 3 weeks in, even though God knows we're both extremely busy and we would be extremely entitled, you know, not to. But for the sake of some, semblance of productivity, even during these summer months, fraught and deliciously free though they are, I'm enjoying it so far. I've got time off. I'm no longer unemployed or even self-employed. I mean, I'm always self-employed, but I can officially say now, because contracts have been signed and it's on Facebook and the like, that I'm on my way to a pretty rad job, an English teaching job, something that I haven't done in almost 10 years, actually, but it was the first thing I did kind of professionally as a teacher, so it's nice to cycle back into that. So I'm really looking forward to it, and it's kind of setting it up to, you know, make the whole thing going into it like, okay, I guess I'm on vacation now instead of being angstful about job-related things. So that's my whole long-winded friggin' introduction, Dan. How the heck are you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay. It's this is the tail end of my weekend before I start work again on tomorrow. So as of the time we're recording, so it's just been, you know, some nice relaxing time. And actually today I spent a lot of today just re-listening to the little playlist I made of my picks for this show, just because it was like, it's mostly just a list of like songs I've been enjoying this summer, a lot of them by like newer to me artists or artists that, you know, we haven't talked about on the show. So, you know, that's why I kind of wanted to make this an episode of kind of like, you know, our quick hits summer jams playlist show.
Absolutely. You know? And we're striking in the middle of the summer. I can't believe this, but we've actually passed within the past few weeks, the longest day of the year has passed. So we're actually on the downward slide into the second half of the year and all that that entails. So I say, if you're not enjoying the hell out of your time right now, you got to do everything that you can. So I think this is a great topic, Dan. Very timely. And I'm looking forward to hearing your number one, bro. What is it? What is your number one, Dan? What are you, or what are you starting out with, I guess I should say? Unless you want to get hierarchical.
Well, I might as well just start at the top of the list that I made here. And yeah, like I said, this is just sort of, you know, some tracks by some artists, some of whom don't really have a whole lot out even at times. Okay. But yeah, my first pick is a guy named Kamau, who's from Brooklyn, New York. He's very much from Brooklyn, New York, if you know what I mean.
What genre are we saying on this?
Like a mix of like R&B and hip hop. He's kind of like, reminds me of like an East Coast version of Anderson .Paak the description that I used in my show notes. And about 3 years ago, he had a song called Mango that was more of like a slower kind of song that was just like, the best way I could describe it is like one of the most like emotionally intelligent breakup songs I think I've ever heard. And I was always just like, that guy seems pretty cool and talented. And this summer he came out with a song that was like a little more on the like upbeat hip hop end of things. But still very kind of like Brooklyn bohemian. Like I described it as vegan food co-op polyhule rap in my show notes. But yeah, I chose his song Wait a Minute that came out recently. That's like a lot of the instrumentation is like, it's a collaboration. One of the artists he's collaborating with is like a cellist. So it's like a lot of like kind of like tabla inspired beats and stuff like that with like cello over top of it. And just kind of like,
and I defy anybody among the hearty cohort of people who listens to this show. Anybody out there, are you listening to a summer song with a cellist? Probably not. Dan is. Okay, so let's listen up.
Like, oh yeah, my list goes to places. I've wrecked my algorithms again with this list. But yeah, anyways, like it's just a good kind of like hot, you know, kind of like good, kind of groovy song for like very hot summer days when, you know, you're enjoying various like legally purchased recreational products, if you know what I mean. So yeah, that's why I wanted to sort of put it at the top of my list. And also I included his song from a few years ago that I really liked in the miscellaneous section of my show notes as well, if you want to check that out. But yeah, Wait a Minute by Kamau is my first pick.
And since I totally rudely barged in on your thing, man, I'm so out of my element. I'm like, I'm in Kamloops in the other side of the country. Like, my whole family situation is just kind of whatever. It's fine. It's great. But cross-country parenting, man. So I'm off my rhythm. I apologize for barging in on you.
No worries.
But please let me follow up with some questions, simply because, again, we don't do nearly enough hip-hop or kind of ish stuff here for me, because I frankly don't know enough about it or don't have enough history of it. Dan's carrying an awful lot more of a weight on that for the show than I am. Can you just contextualize a little bit more in terms of who this person is, the scene they're part of, and any other serious releases that they've had out?
I think he's got like one full length from a couple years ago.
Okay.
And then just like a few singles here and there.
Kind of flying, kind of.
Exactly.
Not low on the radar, but kind of almost, right?
He's also collaborated with, I don't know if you've ever heard of Tobe Nwiwe, who's another
I have.
Yeah. He's another sort of very bohemian hip hop artist, shall we say. But yeah, like I said, this is kind of, I don't want to say hippie shit, but like very much like that, like I said, kind of like crunchy granola, like letting you know that they're properly hydrated in the first verse, you know, kind of stuff. But I enjoy it. So yeah, that's why I put it first on my list. So yeah, what was your first pick, Matt?
My first pick, and I am just, I don't know, man. It's sort of, okay, I've been traveling. My family situation has been sort of, you know, a certain way. My professional situation has been a certain way. It's all on a very positive trajectory. But me and Kamloops historically have had, in the past, a somewhat challenged relationship, I think it's fair to say. Kind of a fraught situation. You know, my Thompson Rivers thing didn't go as planned even a bit. My marriage, you know, took a turn. My mental health took a turn. So, I mean, for me, coming in here, I've been here like almost, I've been here a week and a half. And since I got here, about almost 3 or 4 days in, I've been listening to Not Like Us by Kendrick Lamar nonstop. And I think, like,
that's later on my list.
Holy God. I'm just like, I've listened to that song more than I've listened to the rest of his discography combined, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I've listened to it more than I've listened to anything by fucking Drake. And I'm going to say it, man. I've got such schadenfreude, just such, like, I've never considered Drake an artist that I care about or have any interest in whatsoever. And it's, you know, I feel justified in that because to me, he's just this friggin' dude from Degrassi who has a very privileged friggin' upper middle class/lower wealthy friggin' Toronto existence. And if you know anything about Canadians outside of Toronto, we all like to hate on Toronto. And I've lived in Toronto. I've lived in the GTA. I love it there. I would go back in a second given the opportunity. But like Drake and his whole like, it's just, man, it's just everything about Ontario that sucks. kind of boiled down into one kind of guy in his friggin' crew. But I've carried it quietly because I don't give a fuck. I just don't give enough of a fuck. It's like I see him at their side on the Raptors games. I'm like, fine. He's hanging out with John Tory, the mayor at the time. Fine. Whatever. There's silly, frivolous shit going on in Toronto any friggin' day of the week to beat the band. Drake is a product of that. Sorry, America. Sorry, rest of the world. He is. Kendrick, on the other hand, won a friggin' Pulitzer Prize for his writing on a record at age 28. And I'm just saying, I cannot get enough of this song. It's just, it's one of the five songs I've been asking to repeat. repeatedly. It's like I got, you know, I've totally switched on my media setup. I got this little Bluetooth speaker now that I just kind of blast things on from my phone. And I also, I watched the visual for it, man. The visual demands rewarded viewing. There's like, you realize on the second or third viewing, the guy rolling beside Kendrick in the car has a Blue Jays cap on. And there's some shit streaming on the side of it. And I'm like, what the fuck? There's so many little Easter eggs.
Oh, there's a bunch of things. There is a bunch of things.
Throughout. And I'm like, this is exactly why Kendrick Lamar is one of the most significant popular artists of our day. And holy fuck, that just captures my vibe at this point in time, man. During the summer. So thank you, Kendrick. And hey, run for your life, etc. Man, it's dope. Start dancing to it. There's so much. I'm gonna save the rest for my notes. I'm just gonna go.
Yeah, I want
to add to this. Did you say this was on your list or no?
This was honestly on my list just because one of the inescapable forces of the summer. It's such a skillful, just dismembering of someone's soul and existence on so many levels. Just calling into calling into question their character, but basically calling them like a fucking tourist in their chosen form of expression, and how how they were using all these other people for cred who secretly didn't want to you don't need another old middle-aged guy's lengthy ruminations on it, but this was part of my list. This is one of there was two things that were very much crossed into the pop charts on my list, and this was one of them. But just so good.
And every time it comes off, there are parts of it that I'm just like, the people in the hallway in my hotel must think I'm nuts, because I just, during respectful hours, mind you, but it's just like the certified pedophile, cell block one.
Have you seen the Pop Out, the live performance that he did? That was his first time performing the live show that he did in LA. That was his first time doing this in front of a crowd, and he ended up doing the song something six or seven times throughout the course of the show. But he had legit a gang truce on stage, Crips and Bloods coming together in brotherhood to all call Drake a fucking pedophile and a tourist and a colonizer. And it's just wow. And then on top of having all these other West Coast music legends come out with them, and it's just it was something. But that was on my list. So yeah, that was.
It rewards repeated viewing as a video. It rewards a live viewing, as Dan has described. It rewards, because above and beyond all that, and this is the very last thing I'll say about it before we hear about Dan's second pick, is that they even credit Ray Charles as a songwriter on that, because of the it's the grooviest, most danceable shit in the world, and that's what's even more insidious about it, in terms of just dismantling it. It's like the whole nation is trolling Canada. The Argentina soccer team is trolling Canada because Drake lost money betting on Team Canada against them. Anyway, he's not like us at all. He's from Toronto, and fuck all that. So, Dan, please go ahead with your number two. Please. All
right. Number two is one that I discovered via the YouTube channel of a studio called Color Studio, which is hip-hop and R&B and dance music-focused studio in – I can't remember which city in Germany it's based out of. But they also have a YouTube channel where they will have artists come in and, record a version of one of their songs, and they'll film them against some, very, visually striking kind of, but still kind of simplistic background. And it's all kind of, aesthetic, as the kids say. So I follow this channel because some pretty good artists pop up on it sometimes. And one of them is a newer guy from North London named JD Cliff, who in the accompanying interview for his video referred to his music as grindy, sort of half jokingly, because it's part grime, part indie. The song's called Bust Your Head. And it's funny. It's just like this young dude that kind of, backdoor reinvented Block Party again. While growing up with like one brother who was an aspiring rapper and a sister that was really into like pop punk, and kind of synthesized those two influences into, you know, like what he kind of jokingly referred to as Grindy, which has like, you know, cool.
I like that. Yeah. Moniker. That's a good moniker.
And it's like, you know, kind of like, you know, half like rapped, half sung vocals over top of like really almost like post-punk kind of bass and just like, you know, kind of like, yeah, like UK indie rock, kind of like dance punk kind of guitars and drums. And it's just like a really cool mix. And one of those, like, hey, it's cool seeing the kids like synthesizing something new out of like, you know, different parts. And you got like a couple tracks. He's got like, you know, just got like a couple songs out so far, like sort of that follow this vein. But like, I'm really looking forward to seeing what else he does. So yeah, the song Bust Your Head. Yeah, I've been listening to it a bunch lately. So yeah, that was my second pick.
Highly rad.
Other than, you know, more ruminations on Not Like Us, I guess.
Oh my god. I mean, we're due for another rap episode.
I realized there's only a couple things on my list that aren't somehow connected to hip-hop. Just because I've been listening to more of that lately. Well, I guess, sort of, actually, no, I guess it's like probably 7 out of 10. Okay. Are sort of somehow hip-hop adjacent-ish, but you know, taking different directions with it. But anyways, let's go with your
hip-hop
next pick.
I mean, it's increasingly the world's music. I mean, let's just not forget that.
Definitely.
It's like
that definitely comes up directly on my list. But yeah, anyways, your next pick.
Yeah, man. And I really, again, the more deeper and wider we can go on the shows in terms of, you know, other kinds of artists and stuff beyond, you know, just the kind of punk and whatever alternative idiom that we kind of generally go towards, which I think is legit. One thing, just this sidetrack, very small sidetrack, is I recently just divested myself completely of all my vinyl. Even stuff I bought like a month ago, stuff that I just really cared about, because it was ultimately just like, it became more hassle to have to deal with the storage and like just moving it around during my situation right now. So I was just like, bring it. I don't even care however much I get for it. I'm going to start it again anew when I get to Fort McMurray, Alberta in a few weeks to start my new college teaching job. But unexpectedly, my kid's mom, I was like, what did, so ex-wife, for those keeping track at home, she's just like getting rid of like all the detritus, I guess, that had accumulated, including like 200 CDs or something. My kids came down like to visit the hotel. They were just like each carried 2 bags each. These are 6 foot tall teenagers of compact discs, right? And so now I've got like a complete music collection again, and included in that, is how I'm going to make this relevant, actually I'm looking at it again, and I don't have any of these on CD, so never mind, that was a complete digression. I'm going through changes, to paraphrase Ozzy Osbourne. Okay, Jesus, I'm so out of my loop, dude. First Rodeo off John Snodgrass's record, Barge at Will. And John Snodgrass, somebody who I have heard about variously, associated with Southern punk, pop punk-ish kind of things. They hang out at the Fest. They're one of those bands. They you know, like Hot Water Music tours with them and stuff like that. So he's very much, I can't tell you much about what his thing is with bands. I can't even tell you much in terms of a solo artist. But my pal David from Rad Owl, I called you my pal, if it's inaccurate, sorry. but, you know, one of the things that came up in that interview was to the effect that, you know, he drums with Snodgrass when he tours, right, as part of his thing. And so I just literally, you know, he sent me a clip of just a song, that song, First Rodeo, and it's just this up-tempo, you know, kind of wide-swinging, you know, punk, but like, you know, the rootsy kind of Americana kind of middle-aged stuff. And what really differentiates about it is that it was produced by Bill Stevenson. It was recorded at Blasting Room in Fort Collins, Colorado, and Bill Stevenson plays drums on it. So Andrew, during the interview, was just sort of describing what it's like trying to play some of Bill Stevenson's parts on the drums. And anyway, it's just, it's so catchy. It's so fun. And this is just a song off the record. The whole record's terrific. I recommend anybody check it out. And he's just, you know, the video clips of him are just, he's such a cool, genuine kind of dude. He's even liked some of the things that I've tagged him on Instagram, which he has no reason to whatsoever. Yeah, First Rodeo. It swings, it rocks. And that's my number two pick, Dan. What's your number three, my friend? And feel free to combine if you want to.
I think what I might do, actually, since it kind of touches on a point you brought up previously and just sort of global influences of certain music and global spread of certain music, I'll just jump around on my list a little bit, talk about Yuki Chiba, who he's an artist that I heard of because of Megan Thee Stallion's new album. Because she has a couple songs, of course, she has a song with him on, well, yeah, one of her songs is kind of getting popular on the internet and certain parts of the internet is the song Mamushi that she does, where she does part of it in Japanese. And she has this Japanese rapper, Yuki Chiba, do a verse on it as well. And I figured, I was listening to it and I was like, I wonder what this guy's whole deal is. So I looked him up and then I found what I could only assume, because you know, I'm not as familiar with like the music press in that end of the world. But just by the sheer number of remixes that just seem to be like every fucking rapper in Japan trying to jump on to like freestyle over top of the instrumental. Is this
question? Professor has a question. The professor has a question. I'm a professor. I have a question, dude.
Sure.
Are there a lot of rappers?
I count just off the top of my head. I can think of like there's like at least seven different remixes with like two to three different like guest rappers on them that you can find just easily on YouTube of the song Team Tomodachi by Yuki Chiba that came out kind of like a little earlier this year. That it's very much, you know, it's not the most like, you know, it's not like us in terms of, you know, the writing level, like in terms, you know, when I looked up the English translation of the lyrics, it's like the chorus is basically team of my guys, you know, it's like a song about hanging out, being cool with your friends kind of thing. But just like a catchy summer earworm, because it's just like a really fucking good beat and like a really killer instrumental that you can see why, you know, and it's like, that's one of those things that every once in a while, in rap music, you'll get like a song that gets so popular that everybody wants to just kind of like do their own kind of little freestyle over the instrumental. And this seems to be, you know, the most recent Japanese version of like, I included two of the remixes in the miscellaneous part of the show notes as well, just with some of these other people just like, you know, freestyling over top of the instrumental of this song just because it's so fucking catchy and popular. You know, I've wrecked my YouTube search again, like looking up Japanese hip hop now, because a couple other things came up. There's another pretty cool rapper from Okinawa named A-Witch, who she's got a couple albums out now and apparently lived in Atlanta for a while in the aughts. And that's kind of where she got her start in music and then moved back home. But yeah, like it's just one of those like, hey, here's another little tour seeing what's popular in another part of the world, I guess. That, you know, and I thought it was cool that Megan Thee Stallion had this guy on her album, which, yeah, like that whole new record of hers is worth checking out, you know, if you get a chance, you know, it just for like a good hip hop album, honestly. But anyways, yeah. That was my next pick, was Team Tomodachi by Yuki Chiba, because it's just like, it's a catchy fucking song, even if you don't really, you know, it's, yeah, it's, I feel like I've kind of gotten used to lately listening to consuming media where I don't necessarily understand, you know, immediately. It's like a language I don't necessarily, you know, I might have to go look up the translations of later on, but just kind of like, you can pick up on vibes a lot of the time, I guess you could say. But yeah, that was my next pick. Anyways, yeah.
I am really surprised. I'm always impressed about just the range, shall we say. I didn't necessarily expect to have heard about Japanese hip hop in this episode, man. That is, it's a globally hot summer, apparently. Coming soon to a Noraebang near you. Those karaoke rooms in South Korea, which the Koreans take with them to other parts. Anyway, that's I don't know what they're called in Japanese, because in Japan, because I've never been to Japan. But yeah, so okay, I'm going to combine these next two because I was talking about Rad Owl, and I just have been, you know, throwing on their record since the interview with David, just because you know he's a cool dude. And everything that he's sort of suggested to me or talked about musically is just like, we literally pretty much dig the same stuff. You know, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, the way he described the approach for their band is that everybody in the band does something towards it above and beyond, you know, the musical contribution. So, you know, they shot a visual. And I guess if I was just to say, you know, for their song Growl, I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know, man. There's got to be, like, something for just dudes in their early middle age, because it's like, I don't know. It's just like, you're in the middle of your thing. Nobody is fucking mistaking you for young anymore. But, like, you know, if you're lucky enough to be sort of firing on all cylinders mentally and creatively and your life isn't too fucked up, then, I mean, you still potentially got a really long ways to go of being able to contribute, right, in some way. So when I see, you know, these dudes calling their record Rage Gracefully, you know, it's like it's intelligent, but it's not trying to be smart. It's just it's straight ahead. You know, it's paying its homage to, you know, hard rock very strongly, which I think, you know, it's, you know, it doesn't have to be Zeppelin and Aerosmith to kick ass, right? I mean, you could just disperse that whole fucking psychedelia shit and sort of leave the psychedelia squarely as far as Motorhead, right? If you just let that be your sort of kind of touchstone for psychedelia within hard rock and or Hawkwind, if you want to go there, Steppenwolf, whatever. If that's as far as you let it go, then you're in some really fertile terrain. And so what I appreciate about this release across of it is that it's not just, you know, I mean, I don't mean to diminish pop punk. I don't mean to diminish, you know, that kind of thing. But for me as a music person and as somebody who's just, you know, at a certain point in their life, I go for stuff that I find relatable. And when I see these dudes with their DIY approach, putting out shit at a very high musical level, at a very high, you know, media presence, they're handling their, you know, social media stuff, you know, sensibly. They're just really trying to do things in a good way. And, you know, that like Greg Norton from Worcester New shows up their show sometimes, or they show up at his show with Ultra Bomb. And it's just, I don't know, man, if I was just to finally say it's really cool to be supporting something contemporary from the Minneapolis scene, which I have been on about since I was a friggin' kid, a child, 15-year-old child, you know, since I was my son's age, right? It's just like, man, anyway, I could go on. And I'm going to tack on to this, to make it a twofer, and I'll make this really quick, Mejijo by Sam I Am. It's a single. It's not on their Stowaway record. And again, this is just sort of a function of having talked with Colin from Sam I Am from that super rad interview not that long ago. Yeah, it's they have a song from one of their records called Astray. It's called Mexico, and the lyrics are just straight up, you know, a song about Mexico, and it slays because Sam I Am is just one of those friggin' bands that, you know, if you like them, you like all of it pretty much unambiguously. So now, just in Apple iMusic or what the fuck ever, my streaming thing, I was like, okay, it's a single. Came out in the fall, you know, 4 or 5 months after last year, after Stowaway was released, it's like the same song, except it's a current version of it with the current band's lineup, and importantly, it's all sung in Spanish. So it's like a version of the song, but current lineup, all in Spanish, whereas before it had been in English, That was my transitioning out of New Brunswick music. I listened to that pretty much nonstop for about a week, and I still listen to it. I am going to go see Sam I Am in Vancouver. I have that opportunity. Before I go on my way to the job, I'm going to go see Sam I Am. Colin, I'm going to go see Sam I Am if you're checking it out, bro. Looking forward to it. Colin, Jesus. Friends, it's... but seriously, I'm gonna hope they play it. So if anybody, you know, can make that happen, it would be highly rad. So Mexico by Sam I Am and Growl by Rad Owl. You got any? What you got next, bro? I feel like I kind of went long on that one.
That's okay. Up next, I've got one is like a let's say a loving pastiche, and the other is sort of a return of an old friend that I'll combine into one little blurb. The loving pastiche is Joey Valance and Bray, who are, I don't know, these guys, I don't think they're that old. They seem like they're probably like in their 20s or something, but they are just, they do the most loving recreation of like early 90s kind of like shouty alt rap. Like we're talking like, you know, Beastie Boys, like Check Your Head era, and like Funk Dubious and like the Goats, even like Cypress Hill, like those kind of sounds, mixed with like a very heavy, like kind of like 90s aughts, like, you know, video games and Joe Cola kind of aesthetic. Like, I think they were one of the opening acts on Sum 41's like final tour recently. Yeah, it's, they've got two albums out, and I've been listening to this one song in particular of theirs called Pack a Punch. That's them and Danny Brown, that just like the juxtaposition of these two kind of like young shouty dudes doing their best, like Beastie Boys impressions, but like in like a very like loving and well-constructed way. Like it's not like a piss take and it's not like making fun of it. It's just like, oh no, this is like the best possible recreation of this sound I've heard in a while. But like with Danny Brown on there, it almost reminds me of like Cypress Hill or something, just because he's got the high nasally voice kind of like playing off theirs. So yeah, that's just one of the songs I've been listening to a bunch lately. So Pack a Punch by Joey Valance and Bray with Danny Brown. And also, here's a song you want to talk about mental health and like things that have helped my mental health. The new Weird Al. Jesus Christ. That just made me so happy. Like, just like my notes get like a little like foo-hoo. Just talking about like how, you know, it's like it's summertime and it's just like it can get busy sometimes, like, you know. And but just like it was just one of those days where just like I need a little pick me up, and here we go. Is Weird Al Polka Mania showed up, and oh my god, it's like his first recording in 10 years, and it's another one of his like medleys of popular songs done in a polka style. But like
any just... notable ones, anything that really slaps that jumps out at you, bro? For that?
Oh well, let's see. I think his version of WAP.
Really?
Just like WAP. Sound effects. It's just all. He does it with all sound effects. It's like a water drop and a cat. It's like a water drop, a donkey sound, and a cat just played in succession for the chorus. But, you know, doing the like, park that big back truck right in the little garage. But he did, let's see, he does Bad Guy by Billie Eilish, Flowers by Miley Cyrus, Shape of You by Ed Sheeran. Bloodsucker by Olivia Rodrigo, Thank You Next by Ariana Grande, Uptown Funk by fucking Uptown Funk guy.
I think I'm gonna have to look that one up.
And even even does Shake It Off by, you know, someone who just, yeah, who, you know.
Britney like, Spears, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, it's something. Like, it's just so well done, like. And the video that they made for it, he actually has different animators for each section of the song of him covering like another song. It's like a different animator and done in like a different animation style. It's really cool. Like, and just like, you know, I love Weird Al. I've loved Weird Al.
Yes,
I was a fucking
child. You're goddamn right.
And like, you know, he's just having him like, you know, come back and make more music and just sort of like do the thing he does well again. It just like made me so happy. Anyways, yeah, so those are, you know, it's a couple more picks of mine.
he's a guy who's just, you know, if you look across his entire body of work, it's like he's been consistent, man.
Oh,
like,
definitely.
I can go back to like grade four and like remember like Slime Creatures from Outer Space.
Yeah.
You know, like some of his originals were like pretty friggin' lit. And never mind, you know, the fact that, well, I mean, he did a song on Nevermind, about Nevermind. He didn't friggin', you know, eat it. I mean, this is a guy who has like put like one of the raddest possible mirrors up against pop culture since we were fucking small children. I mean, I don't know how he got his record contract. I'm sure it's on Wikipedia, but the fact that he got like,
I know the story. He locked himself in a bathroom and just kept playing the accordion. Well, no, that was actually how he got his first airplay that led to his record contract, was he locked himself in the bathroom of a radio station and just played his accordion over and over until they played his music.
That's like Kaufman-esque kind of shit, man. Like, that's next level, like, conceptual comedy, bro. I mean, God. We love Weird Al. Holy crap. I'm so glad we finally had a chance to mention Weird Al. This isn't going to be the last time. Okay, so I guess for my final little chat up here, I'm going to just say that one song I listened to right before I started listening to Not Like Us on repeat, I got to into Kamloops. I just had such mixed, raging, regretful times and experiences for the first 3 or 4 days I was here. I was completely unsettled. And so to kind of counter that, I just put on Op Ivy. And I was just listening to that one record they recorded, you know, just on repeat, you know, for like 3 or 4 days, just kind of like, okay, I need fucking just positive vibes. And to that end, No More Bad Town, which is just there. No, it's just one of those, like, just, you know, we're just friggin' these teenagers and we're just, you know, it's timeless. They don't give a fuck, and they don't give a fuck in exactly the right ways, the best ways. I mean, it's just, you know, and everybody who's been part of the scene at any point in punk, you know, or whatever alternative music, anybody who's ever gone to a shitty fucking, you know, Oddfellows Hall or Knights of Columbus or whatever the fuck kind of gig, it's like, you can imagine Op Ivy playing there. You can imagine yourself, you know, in some version of Gilman Street or whatnot. It's easy to, I mean, you know, put that together in your mind. And it's just, it's one of those records that it hasn't aged a lick. And as long as there's punk music, people are going to be playing it. So for me, I'm just like, man, I just need a fucking immediate hit of endorphins. So I had that kind of going for quite a while before I really turned my attention to Kendrick. And the anthem of the summer, Not Like Us. And a few bands. I want to throw these into the recording only because I haven't listened to them yet, but I'm gonna. And I'm gonna include them in the notes. The Jesus Lizard are back together. Fucking A. And they've released at least 2 songs that are out now off their forthcoming record, Rack, on Touch and Go. Holy crap. The Jesus Lizard are back in 2024. They're putting out new music. By all accounts, the live performances have been fucking rad. I can't wait. I'm going to listen to those 2 songs. I you know, the album's coming out in September. My friend Chris Bowes from Horse Funeral Band, who was the first interview for the show, there's some new music out. He's a Kamloops artist, a Shkwetnik artist. You know, across various formats, various musical outputs and styles. He's put some new music up on his Bandcamp, which I'm sure is going to be worth checking out. And I did mention Greg Norton's band from Husker Du, Ultra Bomb. They have, I didn't even know that they had a previous record out from like a couple of years ago. He has stepped, Greg, and a couple of other, the other 2 dudes in the band are highly legit in their own ways. Haven't heard their bands, haven't heard their records. But I understand one of the dudes is from Canada, one of them's from the UK, and then it's him from the US. So it's like this international, you know, 60-year-old guy, pop, you know, punk collaboration. And every kind of thing I've heard about him, from them so far has been rad. We got a new record out. Haven't listened to it because my personal life and professional life have been in chaos and shambles. But gosh dang it, I'm gonna. And I have no other songs on my list whatsoever, Dan. So if you want to just at length, you know, wind your way out of this, go for it, my man.
I'll just run through. I had four other things on my list that I'll just kind of leave them mostly for the notes, but just kind of quickly touch on what they are. Sure. First one is a song by Dez Yusuf from Zulu's solo hip-hop project, Kadena. That is, it's just him rapping over the instrumental to 360 by Charlie XCX, which is, you know, another one of those, like, you know, like, I mean, the
she's good. Possible, she's good, what
she's good. She's good. You know, it's an intro. Actually read, Cadence Weapon actually wrote a really good article about Charlie XCX's Brat album recently. That's worth awesome. Checking out. But yeah, and it's just like 360 is a fucking, you know, as the kid, as you know, I'm sure it's cringy as hell for me to say this, but it's, for lack of a better term, a bop. Like, it's a catchy fucking song, and yeah, Dez is a good rapper. He's got a few things out under the alias Kadena, up on his Bandcamp, because Dez Kadena. yeah, also I had a song by Mac Hami, who is another member of Griselda, who I've talked about on the show before. A song from his Rich Axe Haitian album that came out. It's called Sur le Pont d'Avignon, sort of with the chorus taken from like an old French folk song. But yeah, he's just kind of like grimy, dusty, you know, classic New York sounding hip hop. The last two things on my list were, you know, a little more on the rock and I guess pop side. One is Quebec street punk band Béton Armé, who were touring with Homefront recently, and just released an album on, or just released an EP on the same label that Homefront are on, La Vida S and Moose. And yeah, the song's called L'Union C'est la Force. I reference Operation Ivy in the notes regarding Nothing Wrong with Another Unity song. And yeah, it's just like catchy Quebec street punk. And then finally, an album that, you know, kind of absorbed a lot because it's something my partner listens to all the time, which is Chapel Roan's Hot to Go, which is like, you know, just kind of like, I think it's cool, weird, campy synth pop. And, you know, she's an interesting artist. Like, she draws a lot of influence from, like, you know, like weird drag and like John Waters and stuff like that, while also playing this kind of like Kate Bushy music. And just kind of like, you know, it's definitely, I'm the last person, you know, for the furthest from her target demographic, that's for sure. But, her album's been, you know, around a bunch. And, you know, before Brat kind of took over everything, it seemed like she was the one that was kind of on the rise to be the big breakout this summer, like getting moved, having to get moved to bigger stages at festivals while like wearing big crazy wigs and shit. And, you know, it's actually, she's an artist that I originally heard of through wrestling. because of the wrestler Hangman Adam Page, the anxious millennial cowboy, who frequently like would post like playlists of like alt country-ish kind of music, you know, out to his fans, like his, on Spotify and stuff. And she's an artist that he had put on some of those playlists alongside stuff like Orville Peck and, you know, that kind of deal. Because, you know, he's the anxious millennial cowboy.
Stuff, and yet I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Just from having, like, reading like 8 or 10 different music publications all the time.
Yeah.
I can imagine what you're talking about, even though I've never heard any of it. Kate Bushy music, man, that's got to be like,
yeah.
I want to just... We got to, like, tag that for revisiting. We could do a whole episode.
It's definitely some theater kid shit, but, you know.
Fucking A, man.
Yeah, it's like.
I wasn't a theater kid, but I got great sympathy for them. They're my people. I love the theater kids. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to their shit mostly ever, but I have such respect for it, you know, as a thing. So.
Anyways. That was my list. Yeah, in the show notes, I have a playlist of all those songs. I think they're all up on YouTube, except the Kadena song is on his Bandcamp. And yeah, anyways, it's been a lot of fun talking about some new music, and good to catch up, Matt.
Yeah, man, totally. And again, my apologies for kind of stepping in on some of the discourse. You know, I'm using the hotel TV as a giant size computer monitor. I've got just the most bespoke, ridiculous media setup going now whatsoever. I'm going to start a job in a couple of weeks in a city I've never been to. So I'm just sort of like, you know, it's all to the good, but I am just like, I'm not in my normal milieu or rhythm even a bit. But I am getting to see my kids on a daily basis, which I didn't get to do for a year. So that is pretty damn rad. So on that way too overly personal note, I'm just going to say thanks a lot for listening. Hope you're having a friggin' rad summer, whatever that means for you. Like, I'm having a rad summer, and, like, I think Dan's having a rad summer. So thanks for checking out the show, and we look forward to the next time, whenever that is.
All right. See you around.
Bye for now. Later, Gators.